Now, we're in the New Testament.
I urge the small book of Colossians, intercessions.
It's somewhere in the middle. It's right after
all,
the Gospels,
and then we have a number of the larger books.
Acts,
that we may
Romans,
lead
first and
peaceful
and
quiet life,
and then the little epistles,
and dignified in
Galatians,
every way.
Ephesians, Philippians,
this
Colossians.
Is good.
So find your way
pleasing
there.
You in the sight of God.
I want
Savior.
You to have your Bibles open.
Isn't that amazing? It's pleasing
for
to God
the
that
message,
we pray for our leaders and that
we
are
want
thankful
to look
for
at the words that God has given us in this book.
And
the
I'm
very
excited
next
about
going through
a verse that many of us quote.
I want you to bring your Bible to church.
It says,
I want you to have your Bible open and to be reading it, not just so that you will hear the message this morning, but that you will
we
become familiar with this
would
book.
Be saved.
It is an important book for the church.
One other
and
verse,
as you
Romans
learn
13,
Colossians, you will be able to turn and open Colossians
subject to the governing
and pray that
for there
powerful
no
prayer that begins in chapter 1, verse 9.
Wow.
That as you
and those
look
that exist
to understand what is it
God.
That is the reality of our hope, it is
therefore,
Jesus.
Therefore, whoever resists the authorities
Christ
resists
us,
what
the
God
hope
has appointed.
You will
and
know
those
this
will
book by
judgment.
The time we are done. That's my prayer.
For rulers are not
to bring your Bible to church
conduct,
every Sunday and,
for bad,
and read it throughout the week as we study the
would
book
you have
of
no
Colossians.
Fear of those who
we
are
come
in authority,
to church,
then do what is
anticipate
good. You'll receive his approval, for he
we
is
are
going
God's
hear from God.
Servant for your good.
We come
but
to church
wrong,
expecting
afraid,
a message that will transform
vain,
our lives, not because
the
pastor has prepared
God,
some
an
great speech,
who
a
carries
Toastmaster's
wrath on
edifice.
Therefore,
no,
one must be in subjection.
Because God speaks.
Not only to avoid God's wrath,
and
but
as
also
we do,
for the
we
sake
will
of
be
conscience.
Transformed.
And because of this, you also pay
so
taxes.
So, my friends,
for
that is my
ministers
desire.
Of God,
God
is speaking
attending
in His Word. Now, I'm going
to
do something I haven't done before. I'm going
to
get you to
pay
put
to
that
those
map
who
is
owed to them, taxes to whom
and
taxes
I went to,
is owed, revenue to those
oh,
who
you can see
owed.
My little
respect.
Pointer.
To whom respect is owed.
I had to buy this at London Drugs. It's got like all kinds of things that move on you for your pets. But I want to
we
show you this
God
map because
would
you see, this is Greece.
And
it's quite small.
He has instituted
okay.
those in authority.
I'm not just interested in geography.
In a godly manner.
So if you
pray
are new
me,
to the church
with me
and you're trying
to
figure out the
nation,
New Testament, this is important.
There's 27
together.
Books in the New Testament.
Our
13
Father,
of them are written by the Apostle
we
Paul, possibly 14. If, depends what
that
you
are
Hebrews.
The sovereign
this
over
is Paul's
all
third
the affairs
missionary
of
journey.
Men. If you start here in this corner,
we agree with Proverbs
the most,
that
great.
The mind of the man
is
plans
Corinth.
His way, but the Lord
the letter that was written
steps.
By Paul to this small
heart
church,
of the king
or this
like
church
water
grew in Corinth, was 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then
Father,
if you follow it up the coastline, you see Paul's third missionary journey.
Land.
We have Berea.
Keep
we have Thessalonica.
Let
still today, Thessalonica
come.
Is a thriving metropolis.
Let your
over 150,000 people live in Thessalonica
on earth,
along the
as
northeastern shores
of Canada,
of Greece. We pray, O ruler supreme, who hears our humblest prayer, with those who wrote
Philippi
these words,
is right next to it.
Hold
the book
our
of Philippians
dominion.
Is written to the church
in
Philippi.
Your loving care.
We follow it along. You can see
help
it all the way down
to
Ephesus.
You, oh God, a
the letter of the Ephesians
reward,
written to the church
for a
in
day.
Ephesus.
God,
and then we follow it along here, and we can hardly hands. Read it. It says, Laodicea
we pray with intercession and thanksgiving.
For all
the
that
letter
we have
written
in
to the Colossians is written to
we
this
pray
small
for those
church
that are placed
in
authority in over
us,
that we would live
now,
dignified.
When we read the letter,
quiet,
we're going to realize that
godly
Paul
lives,
likely
like it
never went
to
Colossae.
It tells us
we
in chapter 1 that it was Epaphras who brought
Justin
the gospel
Trudeau,
to Colossae, which is amazing
all
because
those
Paul
that
was speaking and teaching
federally
in the school
and
of Tyrannus in Ephesus.
Civilly.
And then it says, as
we
taught them in Ephesus,
that they would be
it says,
saved.
In this way the word of
that
God spread to all of Asia
of
heard
truth.
The word of God. It's a
we
powerful
for the
testimony
Supreme Court of
that the word of God bears fruit
and
increases. You're going to hear it when we read
God
Colossians.
You
just like it does in all the world.
Through these
it's God's word that will change
your
our
sovereign
hearts.
Will.
It's God's word that will transform
God,
this
as
church.
We live in
and
a
it's by this powerful
that
testimony
you
here
we are grateful.
I'm done with the map.
I just want you to realize these are real people
that is fast becoming
in a real church with real issues, people like us.
Still.
And the message of this book of
so
Colossians still speaks to us
God.
Today. Look at the very last
keep
chapter.
Our land.
Chapter 4,
and
the very last
the
verse
of
Colossians,
Jesus,
verse
pray.
18. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Paul is in prison, likely in Rome, probably at the same time that he wrote the book of Ephesians. There's so many similar things. They're called partner books, Ephesians and Colossians. But here is Paul in prison. Now, there's something really interesting at the end of this book. Look at verse 16. And when this letter has been read among you, Have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. Remember that little town we saw that was microscopic? And then he says, and see that you read the letter from the Laodicean church. Now, many scholars believe that's the letter to the Ephesians that was then passed to Laodicea. And whether or not there may be another letter that Paul wrote, whatever the case, Paul is saying that this is not just a letter for Colossae. He is not just addressing issues in one church. If Paul was writing a letter to First Baptist Church, downtown Calgary, what would he say to us? He would say what he says in Colossians. Because the message of Colossians was not just for this one church. It was to be shared with the other churches. It's a message that's bigger than just the current issues. Oh, it deals with the issues. But it's bigger than that. It deals with issues that we face today. Paul's letter to the Colossians is pleading with them, stay true to Jesus. That's his message. And there are those in the church of Colossae that are trying to convince them there is something deeper, something that is a deeper spiritual truth, that you must know this if you're going to be a real deep Christian. They're saying that there's a deeper experience, that you must have visions and dreams. And Paul is saying, no, the reality is found in Christ. We're going to see this right through this letter. He is saying, let your focus be on Christ. Be true to the gospel. He talks about empty philosophy. And he simply calls them to know Christ, that our hope is in Christ alone. And then he calls them to live in the real world. Colossians addresses issues in the real world. How do we share our faith? You get to chapter 4. And he says, pray that God will open a door for this message and be careful in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. I can't wait till we get to chapter 4. God is going to call us as a church that as we understand this gospel, that we will proclaim this gospel in how we live and in how we speak. A hope that is beyond ourselves. See, as this scripture gets a hold of our lives, it will transform us. That's the message we find in Colossians. Now, in my Bible, Colossians is 3.5 pages long. It's less than 10 minutes when I read it this week. At the end of this letter, Paul says, read this and then share it with others. I want to read this letter. I want us to hear it as a letter. Our very first sermon in Colossians. Let me pray and ask God to speak to me and to you by his Spirit as the very word of God is read to us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, wow, what an introduction. Our hearts are brought into this message that you have declared to us by your apostle Paul. A message that is not only for the church in Colossae and Laodicea, but a message that declares the reason for the hope that is within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I pray that as we start in this book as First Baptist, that you will reveal to us the reality of Christ, that we will be faithful to him and we will live in the real world. We come anticipating that you will speak. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will work even now simply in the reading of your word. Bring great certainty to the truths that we hold. Father, I pray that your church will come alive with the hope of authentic, life-transforming faith in Jesus alone. And by your Spirit, stir the hearts of your people to walk in this truth. Father, as we take up your word in our hands, would you by your Spirit take up our lives in your hands? That the Spirit of God through the word of God would transform the people of God for the glory of God. Father, have your way. Speak, for your servants are listening. And we pray in Jesus' name, our risen, exalted King, sovereign, Lord of all. In his name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from the ESV. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Does your heart not just be drawn into this? God, let it be true of us. Does this scripture not just call you? Let it bear fruit and increase. Verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit, so that from the day you heard, you have not ceased to pray for you. We heard you have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have be preeminent. And in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a minister. Now I rejoiced in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's suffering for the sake of his body that is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden of ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one will delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, As you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive with philosophy and empty deceits according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head over the rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh, but the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or regard to festivals and new moon or Sabbath. These are the shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism, the worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by their sensual mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Wow. A growth that is from God. A growth that is from God. Would you pray with me for this? You see what God's purpose is for us. If with Christ you died to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were still living in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you lived in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practice and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen, holy, and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do, In word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasing, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on which I am account I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instruction, if he comes, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. They have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, which we just did, have it also read in the church of the Laodicea, and see that you also read this, the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. I know what you're thinking. I can't believe he read the entire letter. Wait till we get to Isaiah. Can you imagine sitting in the church in Colossae, knowing that there are people among you that are saying you need to have a special knowledge, you need to have special visions and something that proves you are spiritually deeper. And right from the front, it is the letter is read and declared the glorious gospel of Christ. And over the weeks and months ahead, we are going to study this book verse by verse. And I believe God will transform our lives. It is a powerful introduction. I just want to look at the first five verses in probably 2 minutes. Paul is very clear that it's about faithfulness. He is being faithful to his calling. Look at it. He is an apostle. It means sent one. He is sent by Jesus himself. We know in the road to Emmaus, Jesus, he said, who are you persecuting? He said, I am Jesus that you are persecuting. I will send you. He is sent, and he says, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. He is clear that he's writing to these Christians. Not only is Paul being faithful to his calling, he is calling them to be faithful to the gospel. And he is saying, you are the real deal. Look what he says in verse 2. Saints, you are set apart. You are holy ones, and you are faithful. And just like Timothy is your brother, you are all brothers. Why? Because you are only holy in Christ. You will only be faithful to Christ. And then he gives the great greeting, grace and peace from God, our Father. Brothers together, Paul identifies himself with them, that it is God who is our Father, the one who gives grace, the one who gives shalom, peace. But Paul is not just giving a greeting. This peace is going to be declared in Jesus. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace, shalom, by the blood of his cross. See, our peace with God is the gospel we believe. And then in verse 3 to 5, Paul gives us the famous apostolic triad, faith, hope, and love. Do you see it? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for the saints, and the hope that is laid up for you in the gospel, the word of truth. I believe what Paul is doing here is shorthand for this is a true Christian. He is saying, I'm thankful to God. Why? Because this is the work of God. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's God. And Paul recognizes it. And he is saying, this is what I hear. This is your reputation, that you have faith. Not faith in yourself, not faith in First Baptist Church, not faith in your good life, not faith in your philanthropy and somehow earning and currying the favor of God. Faith in Jesus Christ, the only righteous sacrifice. What a powerful testimony this is. I thank God for this mark of a Christian. The second one is the sincerity of their love, the love they have for all. It's as if that he is saying that you cannot have authentic faith without it being worked out in the relationships. It's like 1 John, remember? How can you say you love God and hate your brother? The truth is not in you. So he is saying in this triad, these are evidence of the truth, that it is faith in Christ and love for all, and it is a supernatural love. Some people are generally just warm-hearted and loving. There are people in the church that are easy to love, and then there's others. And Paul is saying, you love them all. Look down at verse 8 in chapter 1. It is a love in the Spirit. Paul is saying none of this is just natural relationship. He is saying this is a mark of true Christianity, and the third is hope. A hope that is beyond this world. It's not a hope that we can lay up for ourselves. It is a hope that is laid up for us. It's what God has done. An eternal hope. The hope of the gospel. In 1 verse 27, it is Christ himself who is the hope of glory. So what is the reputation of First Baptist Church? When people consider us and the years that we have been here, would they say, there is a church that since I heard of their faith in Jesus Christ, that is a church that understands the gospel and has put their full weight down on Jesus. How about loving one another? That is a church that loves as evidence of authentic faith. Would people consider First Baptist Church and division, strong leadership that demands their own way, a lack of love amongst the body? Could it be that God will change us? Could it be that God will transform our hearts, that authentic faith will so captivate our being that we will have a love that is supernatural from the Spirit? And the future of First Baptist Church will be brighter than anything in the past, that we will be a testimony of God's grace in the Beltline and in the city. I pray that God does it. And as we see it, we will be like the Apostle Paul, thanking God for doing this work. This is our prayer. This is why Colossians is important for us. We need this book. We need to hear the message God will say to my heart as your pastor and to all of our hearts together. Hold fast to the faith that we once received. And as we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, chapter 2, verse 6, so walk in him. I'm excited about Colossians. I believe Colossians will change my life and yours for the glory of God. Will you pray with me? Father, there is
so much in our hearts this morning. We know the truth of our own need. We know the reality of our own thoughts and our tongues. We know the demand of our own soul to reign and rule over our lives. And we hear this powerful testimony that Jesus is Lord over all. Father, let it be true of us. I pray that in kindness and in mercy that we would know this grace and peace that is in Jesus alone. That the Spirit of love would transform my heart and our hearts. That we would with great thanksgiving say that we see the work of God among us. So Lord, use your word. And just as we prayed at the very beginning of this sermon, we pray that the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, would transform the people of God for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, we pray. Amen.